But Dr. Fiona, who's come in this afternoon, g'day.
How are you, Mark?
Look, I'm ready to look after and facilitate those people heading your way. The best pair of questions. I know they're on the way.
Definitely. Keen for some questions.
But we'll also be covering a few things that we're not really usually associate with animals, pets and wintertime.
No, absolutely not. Last week, even with how very, very cold it was, I was involved in a case of a dog with tick paralysis and also a dog with a brown snake bite in June.
All right, not great things at the best of times, but in the middle of winter, even less so. Dr. Fiona, who has been doing all sorts of summery things at the veterinary clinic, but in the middle of winter. Now, it's freezing cold, Fiona.
Yeah.
I had a beanie on this morning and you're out there dealing with ticks. What's the story here?
Yeah, very unusual, very asymptomatic for June to have ticks and snakes on the radar. But as we were talking off air, Mark, I think probably the snake issue, because we had all that water and all the flooding, that areas that snakes would normally be hibernating in, they probably had to get to higher ground, which might mean stables or houses or garages, those sorts of things. So I guess always be mindful, even in the cooler months, that, you know, snakes around, they're just not probably doing a good job of hiding most of the time.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the one thing, you keep that in mind, particularly for our pets as well. The things now, are there things that we should be looking out for in our pets that could potentially lead to a fact that they have been bitten?
Yeah, good question. So ticks and snakes are different. So I'll start with snakes. If it's a brown snake, you can often see really quick signs that your dog's unwell. If they suddenly collapse and just get weak and fall over or vomit and then seem to recover, that's a real red flag.
Wowzers, okay.
Yeah, so brown snakes can look bad, then suddenly look good. And then deteriorate very quickly, whereas red-bellied black snakes, they'll often present milder and less quickly, so they can have more your bleeding-related issues.
And that could be a trick with the brown snake thing as well, because if the whole collapsing thing happens when you're not with the dog and they've sort of come good, then that slow thing, you might think, well, there's just something, I'll get them to the vet, you know, at the end of the day or whenever I can. But the reality is you need to get them in now.
ASAP, absolutely. Yeah, this particular dog was incredibly lucky. It got rushed to the vet straight away. The owner had seen it with a brown snake, got in straight away. We had given it antivenom within probably half an hour of it being bitten, and it ended up dying on the table and the staff got it back. So really, really quickly it can happen. So if you're on a property or if your dog's exercising off lead and you're not quite sure where it is, just always keep your wits about you.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's still better to be safe than sorry, even if it ends up being something that's just minor. You're better to, you know, take the run into the vet anyway.
Definitely, and there's tests we can do at the clinic that can give us a higher or lower index of suspicion with a snake bite. So if in doubt, always give your vet a call. And in terms of ticks, as we mentioned, that's also really unusual timing this time of year. I guess there are so many good preventative products out there now for our cats and dogs that can prevent against fleas and ticks, that you're just safer to use it year round rather than assume you're safe in winter.
Is there still a case of a lot of people not taking the prevention route when it comes to ticks and fleas and things like that?
There are. And I think these days you are really gambling with your pet's life if you're not treating for fleas and ticks in particular, because ticks are fatal. They can be fatal and they can be incredibly expensive to treat, whereas a monthly preventative is so much quicker and easier, in my opinion. And for our dogs, we're really lucky now. We have a once a year injection that can protect them for fleas and ticks. So if you're the type of person that, you know, the month rolls around and you're like, oh, I think I'm a couple of days late or I'm a week late, it doesn't really matter. Maybe you're, you know, you or your dog is the ideal candidate for this once a year injection.
All right. Yeah. Middle of winter, but those summery things are still front of mind, or at least they should be. G'day, Bruce at Tenambit. Your pig is, shall we say, losing a bit of stamina. What's going on, Bruce?
I think he's losing the stamina. He loves being out with the females. We let him loose and normally they do their thing out in the paddock and everything's sweet and we get some piglets. But
yeah,
man, it's been 9 months or more now that we've had nothing. he's got six girls to choose from, and
okay,
not one of them's pregnant.
Okay, so he's previously fathered piglets, has he, Bruce?
He certainly has. I can't give you an exact count, but it's well over 24.
Okay, and would you say he's sort of nearing the end of his reproductive usefulness, or would you be expecting that he's still okay?
Well, I'm expecting him to still be okay, but that's my next question. How long do they keep going for before they stop fathering piglets?
Bruce, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm not a pig vet, and the last pig I dealt with was more than a decade ago. But I guess a couple of things I would comment on. Would you say, like, is he in good health and he's eating well and his feet are in good condition and all those sorts of things?
He eats well too.
Okay.
Put it this way, they all eat well.
Okay.
And they all get out to have a bit of an exercise, and he loves being with the couple of cows and sheep that we got.
Okay. And has there been any additions of any other boars? Like, have the dynamics of the herd changed?
No.
No? Okay. All right. And the housing, has that changed at all?
No. The only thing what I heard from you before was about the red-bellied black snakes. We've had one come into the nursery,
okay,
which we've taken the pigs out of it because it's gone to sleep underneath the deck, and we're not going to bend down to find out if it's still there.
Yeah, look, I can't blame you there, Bruce. Look, there's nothing obvious that I'm aware of, Bruce, but as I said before, pigs are not my forte. Do you have a regular vet who helps you with your pigs?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, all right. Look, I would give them a call, Bruce, because they're going to have more specific information and probably more useful information for you. But I think definitely if you're noticing, you're not getting those piglets, then from a production point of view and a financial point of view, you need to get a solution for that.
Yeah, it's just now we used to go away up to Kempsey and get a few things and come back, and we'd be having a phone call. I've got 5, 6. Before we get home, there's 14. So.
Yeah, I love a good piglet litter. So good, Bruce. Well, look, best of luck with it. And, I'd recommend seeking advice from someone more knowledgeable than me.
And, Bruce, just on your way out the door, I'll also add I'm not a pig vet either, but is it possible that this once Lord of the Ladies just needs a rest?
No.
Good on you, Bruce.
Yeah, good on you, Bruce, for that one. G'day, Margaret at Garden Suburb. Your 18-month-old Shih Tzu is digging in the backyard. What's the story at your place, Margaret?
Oh, she's driving me insane.
Oh, dear. Tell me more, Margaret.
Well, I've got a big trough that I grow herbs in, and she's just about burrowed underneath it. I've put bricks all around it, and she's dug under the bricks.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know. I can't get her in at night. If I send her out at night to go to the toilet before we go to bed, we can't get her in. We've got to lay a trail of cheese.
Little monkey?
Along the veranda to get her into the house, and then jump up quickly and shut the door when she comes in.
Okay.
She's just digging everything.
So is it just this area, Margaret, or it's everywhere in the backyard?
No, it's just this one particular area.
Okay.
She's tipped all my pot plants over.
Yeah, all right.
And I went out this morning and I've got strawberries growing in pot plants and they're all over the backyard.
Not anymore, hey?
No, they're not anymore.
Yeah.
She got into my orchids.
Oh, dear, oh dear. Look, Margaret, I'm going to make a suggestion which might sound really simple, but is there a way of fencing off the area that you don't want her to be?
No.
Okay. Because, an 18-month-old, we're still a puppy, we're still learning, we're still testing boundaries. And sometimes it's just harder than it needs to be because you've just got to provide them with less opportunity to do the wrong thing and more opportunity to do the right thing.
If you tell her to get away from it, she just looks at you and much and say, ha ha.
Who's the boss in your house, Margaret? I have a feeling it might not be you.
It's not me, that's for sure.
Yes. Look, Margaret, I really think... to be honest, I think you need to do some training with her, okay, because she sounds like she's ruling the roost. And while she's more than likely absolutely adorable, she's not the one making the rules. So what I would suggest you do, there's lots of dog trainers around, but contact your local vet and find out a name or two of someone they'd recommend, okay?
Right.
Because there are lots of trainers who will come to your house and look and observe with your individual situations and give you really tailored advice and tailored training information that's
right.
that's just for you. So I would highly, highly recommend if you've got more than a decade with her, you kind of want to maybe even up that power balance a little bit more.
I was actually so frustrated the other day. I threw the clothes basket at her.
Oh, dear. Well, that was probably, she probably thought that was a fun game, Margaret.
Oh, she did. Then she climbed in the clothes basket and chewed it.
Oh, dear. Well, look, yeah, see how you get on, but I would highly, highly recommend some tailored dog training for her, Margaret.
All right, best of luck with that. And we're not coming to help pick up the clothes bags. That's not going to happen either.
Bag's not.
G'day, David at Singleton. Your American Staffy is not eating or drinking properly. What's happening, David?
Tell me more, David.
Hi, John, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm a bit worried about my dog, I am.
Yeah, tell me more.
I've got the American Staffy. She's a rescue dog.
Yep.
And she's not eating or drinking.
And how long has that been the case for, David?
Oh, that's only been the case since last night and today.
Okay, all right. Any vomiting or diarrhea?
Yeah, she had vomit last night, yeah.
Okay. And is she normal energy levels or is she a bit quieter than normal?
Yeah, she's got normal energy levels.
Okay. Has she eaten today at all?
No, she hasn't, no.
Okay. Look, David, if you phoned up my local vet clinic, I would 100% say you need an appointment today and you need to come in for a checkover with her, okay? So I would give your local vet a call. It might be something really minor, but it also, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, ticks and snakes are still out there amongst a lot of other things. So I would highly recommend you give your local vet a call and see if they can fit you in today.
All right, some sound sage advice there. Good on you, David. All the best with you and the American Staffy at your place. Good times, great music too, and you are FM 103.7. We're doing the Pet Chat thing for a little while longer, so you do have a couple of minutes left if you want to connect with Dr. Fiona. And why wouldn't you? She's here to answer your questions.
That's what I'm here for.
One by one. And Samantha, who didn't want to go on air but said, look, my dog has not got the best breath at the moment. So how can we help out Samantha, Fiona?
Yeah, look, really common question, really common observation from owners that their dogs have smelly breath. Whilst it is very common, it's not normal. Okay, it's an indicator that something's going wrong in the mouth. The statistics are actually quite fascinating. Over 80% of dogs who are more than 3 years of age have dental disease.
Wow, so it's almost like if your dog hasn't, that's the non-norm.
The exception,
isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, we brush our teeth twice a day, or most of us do. Your dog probably, and your cat, probably never brushes their teeth. So, unless we do something to help them keep their teeth clean, the teeth are going to get dirty. They're going to have tartar build up on the teeth. We're going to get red gums and inflamed gums called gingivitis. And we're going to get an increased bacteria load within the mouth. And those things combine to can cause really severe dental disease, actually. And if it gets to a certain point, you get exposure of the roots of the teeth. You can get fractures of the teeth. You can get abscesses in the roots of the teeth. So there's lots of pretty negative things that can happen with bad dental disease, including increased bacteria in the bloodstream, which can lead to infections in the heart and the kidneys, and lots of consequences for bad dental health.
Yeah, right. So the bad breath is the symptom we'll recognise when the dog comes up. But Samantha, looks like there'll be a whole lot of other stuff there. So make sure this is the next bit. What do we do?
Oh, great question. So if you notice your dog having smelly breath, if you're able to, or if your dog will tolerate it, or if you're willing to, lift their lips up. So you don't have to open their mouth. You just want to lift the lips and have a look at the teeth. So they should be white and the gums should be nice and healthy and pink. If you're noticing any browny or yellowy or blacky stuff on the teeth, or if you think the gums look really red and angry, definitely get to your vet and get a dental exam done, and your vet can talk through what our options are. Cleaning the teeth under anaesthetic is your number one go-to. We also x-ray and probe the teeth. It's literally the same as what human dentists do, but our patients don't sit there nice and still when you say keep still and open your mouth. So we do need to anaesthetise them to make it safer and to do a proper job. There is absolutely no way on a conscious animal you can do a proper job of cleaning their teeth.
I don't know. I've been a dental patient and I struggle with it. So
yes,
can imagine our dogs and cats and whoever else.
Absolutely. And look, it's way, you know, I wouldn't even attempt it. It's way too stressful for them, and not to mention I don't want my fingers in any animal's mouth that's not happy for them to be there.
No, 10 in, 10 back out.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hopefully, Samantha, that is some guidance for you and everyone else are checking their under the lips today.
If in doubt, have a look. And if you'd like some more help or advice, definitely call your local vet and get them to have a look in the mouth.
Good times. Great music at 2 NURFM 103.7 as we continue with Pet Chat. A couple of minutes left if you have a pet question. Or a quet question for Dr.
By the way, I can work with either of those.
Do that. Well, we've had everything so far today. We've had pigs.
Yes.
We've had the dog that was had the washing basket thrown at and the dog that's not eating.
So. Oh, dear. Yeah, look, happy to answer any last-minute questions, definitely.
And if you think that, you know what, after hearing all of these scenarios, pet ownership is for me, we've got an opportunity for you right now up at our website with our dog and cat of the week. Let's start with the cat who this cat, I always say the cats look gorgeous being a cat person, but Sumac, love the look of this little dude.
He is pretty adorable. I agree completely with you. 18-month-old male grey and white tabby. Looks very, very handsome. Got some really cute little markings on his legs in particular there. 18-month-old, so, you know, good age, probably still keen on some playtime, but he's also not a carry-around cat. So if you're after a carry-around cat, he's not for you. But if you're after, you know, a quiet companion, very happy to be loved, pampered and adored, and would be best in a home with older children rather than young children. But he's also cat-friendly, dog-friendly, and would be suitable as an only cat. So if he ticks your box, then have a look.
Yeah, and that's the thing with, I guess, with a younger kid household. I mean, some kids are prone to just, I just want to pick the cat up and carry it around. Yep, this is my cat, it's a doll. Sumac is not the cat
Sumac
for you.
Sumac is not the cat for you. But on the flip side, there may be someone who, you know, an older person or, you know, some adults in the household who just want a cat to love, then he may be perfect.
Yeah, he looks pretty good though. Also, Jack is our dog of the week. So take us through Jack here, Fiona.
Yeah, so Jack's a 2-year-old male. I reckon a brindle colour. I reckon he's probably Staffy Cross Dachshund or something like that, who loves people, loves his friends, loves his cuddles. He's toilet trained. The information says he's okay by himself, walks well on the lead, but he isn't having a great time at the shelter. So there is a bit of a push to try and find him his forever home because he is a little on the anxious side.
And that also does sort of, I don't want to say limit, but it does sort of limit the type of family and background that are really going to be a suitable home, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, you know, just as we saw for Sumac, you know, they can be the perfect pet for the perfect household. It's just a matter of matching them correctly, and that's why this information is so helpful because it means you know what you're getting and you can really find a pet that suits you.
Absolutely. But, yeah, loves the snuggles. He's affectionate, loyal type of dog. And, again, the photo on his very profile cute. Pic will get you.
Oh, won't it just? Those eyes. Yeah, very, very cute. All right, have a look.
Check out Sumac and Jack. They are our dog and cat of the week. Up at our Pet Chat page at 2NURFM.com.au. Good times, great music, and 2NURFM 103.7 as we wrap up with Dr. Fiona. What has been a bit of a wild ride today on Pet Chat.
Lots of left field things today.
Well, you know, we had that pig that was that Lord of the Ladies that is just...
or not, as the case may be.
Used to be. He's gone off. But we have thrown the dart at the dartboard, and the winner of the $50 to spend at Dozer & Co. is...
Margaret, with the 18-month-old Shih Tzu.
Margaret, congratulations from Garden Suburb. You have $50 to spend there, and our team will get in contact with you very, very shortly to sort that out. Thanks, Fiona. Appreciate your time today.
Pleasure, as always, Mark. Thank you.
And we'll catch you next time you're here for another Pet Chat. Looking forward to that.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.